Good morning and welcome back to the TechConnex podcast, the business of your business. I'm your host, Ryan Ellis. In this month's session, I have the opportunity to speak with Randy Bergeron, a local business legend who has grown a number of successful Canadian and American businesses over his decorated career. But we're not here to talk about Randy's past. We're here to talk about Randy's future. Randy's future as an author. Randy has recently written in an amazing business-focused book, Rise and Shine, 50 Real-World Lessons. So join us as we discuss the process, the inspirations, and the lessons learned when it comes to creating your first book. Thank you very much, and we hope that you enjoy the conversation. Good morning, TechConnex. This is Ryan Ellis, and on today's Business of Your Business podcast, I have an amazing guest. He's an inspiration. He's business-minded, savvy, loves baseball, loves his family. And this gentleman has written an amazing book, Rise and Shine, 50 Real World Lessons. Would like to welcome to the show, Randy Bergeron. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Doing fine, thank you. Happy to be here.
Awesome. I'm very thankful that you've taken the time out of your busy schedule to talk with me this morning. And we're going to get right into it because the focus of our discussion is about business. And you have taken on an incredible task and a hard task and something that a lot of people are afraid to do. And people have started the process but never finished. And want to give you kudos and credit for writing a book and a book about business. What prompted you to write Rise and Shine?
Ryan, it's always been a life ambition to write a book. And the subject was, I guess, it's a way to give back. It was something I really wanted to do. And then the specific subject of entrepreneur and driving a small business into the mid-market, I focused on that because there's really not a lot out there. You can find lots of material on starting out and launching a business as an entrepreneur and how to do that. And you can find lots of stuff and how to make mega money on the stock market or tech or, you know, Silicon Valley. There's not a lot in the middle in between. In driving a small business into something that's larger, into a mid-sized category. And I wanted to share what I know about that.
One of the big things I got from your book is that it's complete. And like you said, it doesn't just focus on little aspects. Like, it's a playbook. Like, it gets you from A to Z and maybe a little bit beyond. And one of the great things that I've taken away from this book is your style of writing, clear and concise, and in a language that anybody can understand. Not overly wordy, a great read and a fast read, but like I said earlier, it's a playbook and it's something that anybody can come back to and reference. And, you know, as many people have written on your reviews of your book, you know, this book's a golden nugget. And I don't know if you picked gold for the cover as as a fortuitous insight as to what's going to happen, but you know, the playbook, something that people can go back. Did you aspire? Was that one of the goals as to this should be something that should be referenced all the time? Because, you know, people always like Simon Sinek and like Covey and other great business-minded people, everybody always mentions those. Were you thinking about maybe, hey, Randy Bergeron, he's written one heck of a good book. We should reference this a little bit more.
The truthful answer is no. I aspired to write a book that was extremely concise and to the point. I really wanted to not have a lot of filler in it. One of the lessons that I did learn is, especially with today's generations, you better get to the point pretty quickly. No one's got time in the world to, you know, to have to absorb a bunch of filler. So I wanted to get to the point and make it hard hitting and concise. But I didn't intentionally draft it as a kind of reference guide. And I heard lots of feedback along those lines. And that's just a serendipitous result of, I guess, trying to be concise and to the point.
I like that. Some of the other takeaways from this, from your book, is are there any particular aspects to your career that allowed you to gain the experience required to enjoy success in business and ultimately write a book like Rise and Shine?
There's a couple of ingredients in that mix. I did enjoy a really wide range of job functions through my whole career. I started out, helping as a warehouse assistant. I went through, grew up on that side. I worked in financial areas. I did everything from purchasing to billing. So I covered a lot of ground there. I worked in the technical side in a technology company. When I started out, I was a software designer. I was an engineer for a while, and then I cut my teeth in sales and got some exposure to marketing as well. And I was just fortunate to be able to enjoy gaining experience in virtually every part of a business. And so that helped me a lot. And I've also, in that, along that journey, I've been around some truly amazing and awesome people to learn from, and who mentored me over the years. And in along that path as well, a lot of obstacles that you have to overcome, and those are learning opportunities as well. So combination of all of that is what I was fortunate enough to enjoy.
Awesome. The book pays a lot of attention to personal and behavioral traits that are critical to leaders in a growing business. Are there any specific examples that you personally embraced or developed to help you succeed in business?
I think I'd go back to the communication subject again. Anyone that I ever worked with, even my family, will tell you I'm more than a bit of a zealot when it comes to communications. in listening effectively and in being concise and clear in what you're saying and how you're presenting, whether it's the spoken word or whether it's written. So I've always been obsessed with that, and that's something that I've personally embraced, I think, that helped me succeed along my journey. Maybe a good example of that, right? Oh, here's a great example of that. In just about every business, regardless of what industry it is, you work within, there's some form of business babble that's related specifically to that industry. But there's also a whole lot of, I noticed lots of trends towards more, I call it business babble. It's just generic to any business. And we live more and more in a world that's full of that. Quite frankly, it's a terrible thing. You hear sentences that sound like this, right? We synergize emerging solutions to empower stakeholders with an experiential-based workstream collaboration environment. That's awful. That is awful. What does that mean? But those are the kinds of things that you get inundated with in the business world these days. And I think that the best thing that you can do, and that I always focused making every effort to do, is to translate that into just normal colloquial language. Because I will tell you, every employee, every customer, every partner wants that. They just want plain speak. And plain speak gets lost too often. So that's one of the things that I think helped me a lot.
Awesome. Are there any particular ideas in the book that readers should really embrace?
That varies. There's there's probably a few quotes that really seem to have resonated with readers and that I have received comments on. I think one of the most important and one of the first bits of feedback that I received on it was, you know, personal growth is a fundamental requirement to growing as a leader. You can't grow as a leader unless you're growing as a human being. So incorporating that kind of, you know, growth aspiration into your mindset, it is huge. And I think there's been lots of positive feedback around that concept. Another one is a little more, I guess in something in a little more precise area, is to value the creative ideas from employees that you choose not to implement equally with those that you do. I've had quite a bit of feedback on that one, I think because it's fairly unique. And the whole, look, when you're in a business or you're in a group setting and you're trying to achieve a goal, when somebody comes up with an idea and you say, that's great, we're going to actually do that, we're going to incorporate that idea, it's easy, and most people will, leaders will recognize that. They'll shout it out. They'll acknowledge it. And that's all good. It should be. There's everything right about that. What gets missed 99.9% of the time is if Sally and Jane and John and Jimmy have also presented ideas and they've put some thought into it and they may not be incorporated, it may not be ultimately what gets included in the game plan for the business, they should still be acknowledged and valued just as much for their willingness to contribute. And when you do that, when you actually say, listen, ideas are welcome, whether we implement them or not is a separate decision, but ideas are really valued and welcome from everybody, then you really empower a whole organization. And that's something that readers seem to have embraced. I've had lots of comment on that, on that concept and the idea. And then of course, I would also mention embracing failure as a useful tool, which is an integral part of success and the growing process. You recently had a great interview with Suresh Mahmood on learning from failure.
Yes.
And I listened to that and it was fantastic. And she's absolutely right about everything that she said in there. The most powerful learning tool we have is failure. Even if you look at something as fundamental in our world as, let's say, the scientific model or engineering, they're built on the whole premise of try, test, fail, learn, adapt, try again until you're successful. So embracing failure as an integral milestone towards success, for me, that changed everything. That changed my worldview completely. It's a stunning change in how you can look at the world and look at your business if you look at failure as milestone achievements towards, you know, accomplishing your goals. It changes everything.
Randy, I want to ask about the the process of writing this book. This was obviously your first stab at it and an amazing first time writing something. And, you know, we're talking about failure, you know, like what was your process in creating this book and like, what was your timeline and where, you know, were there parts where you might've given up on this? Is this, and have you been thinking about this for a long period of time, or is this more of a reactive, book based on the last couple of years, especially with COVID? We're going into kind of year two of COVID lockdown. Business is not the same as it was a year ago. What are your thoughts? Let me know what you think about that.
There's a couple things to unpack in there. It was, I'll tell you, it was a tremendous learning experience. One thing I had no exposure to, no idea how it worked, was the whole idea of constructing, writing, editing. I've learned that there's, you know, four different flavors of editing, that that one is not the same as the other, that that the whole technical process of putting together a book and getting it published was a mind-blowing, fantastic journey of, you know, new experience for me. So that was part of it. The impact of COVID, I don't think I would, it wouldn't have changed what I wrote. It gave me, you know, making some form of lemonade out of the, just a horrible situation, is it gave me an opportunity to hide out in my office and focus on writing for quite some time while we were, you know, we've been going through some of this. And so it's, it also, I think COVID has also, the pandemic has also put a real focus on a couple of specific areas in the book that I value. And I think that they really brought out more in the areas. One is like loyalty to employees, and that whole section that covers about how to and why to generate loyalty from employees and be loyal to your employees. I don't think that's ever been more important than it is now. And I think the other one is actually, I speak briefly about a conservative financial strategy. And I dare say that there's a lot of businesses that are not hurting as much because they've had a conservative financial strategy rather than a little overly aggressive, and keeping some resources under the pillow has turned out to be a pretty good idea for a lot of businesses in today's world. No one saw it coming, but here we are. So yeah, that's kind of my take on, I hope that answered your question.
No, it's good. Cause the other thing that's kind of coming to mind right now, it's kind of reversed, is what is it like and to work with a publisher, and how are they with you with, you know, the timeline and you bring this, bringing your book forward, and how was the process of, you know, trying to get your book published?
They were fantastic. Tellwell is the name of the organization that I worked with, and they're out of Victoria. I wanted to work with a Canadian company, and they were fantastic. They assigned a project manager who, they're used to working with first-time authors that don't have a clue what they're doing. They, you know, they walked me through it and explained, you know, here's the things that have to happen, and the order that they have to happen in, and the timelines that are attached to them, and all of those good things. The writing itself, I found I get a lot of joy out of it, and writing's not a new thing for me, but putting together a book for publication, as I said, that's all new, and I was lucky. You know, they walked me through it. They held my hand completely, and they needed to.
There's so much I could say right now. So Rise and Shine, 50 real world lessons. 50 lessons is a lot to go through. What are your most important lessons from your book?
Go ahead, Ryan.
So, you know, like lessons that you have learned yourself, because obviously this could have been 100 world lessons, 200. So, you know, what's your biggest takeaway?
I think an important lesson that I learned along the way is, again, I'm making the employees feel emotionally invested in the business, which, you know, we talked about a few minutes ago a little bit, but that to me was just, again, a really critical lesson in my own path. You know, one of Peyton Manning's questions in the book, and I know that you love those Peyton Manning quotes.
Oh, yes.
Leaders ask questions, and embracing the whole idea of making all your employees feel invested in the business. And I don't mean financially invested, but like that you care about their contributions and that you afford them the opportunity to make contributions, not just in the specific box that they're in their role, but, you know, other parts of the business that impact them or that they impact. When you enable the group mind, you, instead of just, you know, the leadership, you really supercharge the ability of a business to grow. And I think that was an important lesson for me. I think that was one of the most important lessons.
Is there any particular chapters or sections of the book that you would stress to an entrepreneur trying to grow their business to the next level?
Oh, you know, I would say there's probably two that really, that are two important chapters that stand out. One is the one titled Marketing, Not Just for the Big Guys. Marketing needs to be varied. You've got to have tools. You need to have a subject matter expert. You can never stop investing in it. There's a common thought amongst entrepreneurs when you're in a small business that marketing is, you need some, but it's just not something that they think about. They think about the operational aspect of the business and they think about making sales. And I think that I believe that the power of marketing to drive increased sales is undervalued. I don't think it's completely overlooked, but I believe it's undervalued by many entrepreneurs, and many who aspire to grow their small business to the next level are missing that incredibly powerful engine. Marketing is not just for big corporations, no matter how small you are. That and embracing change. Change is a wonderful thing. Change, disruption is opportunity, and opportunity is the vehicle that gives you a chance to power the growth of your business. So those two areas would be, if you said, you know, pick one or two to stress, I would stress those.
You got a lot of memorable quotes. And like you said, Peyton Manning, I'm a big fan of Peyton Manning. And if he ran a business, well, I guess running an offensive line as the quarterback, as the CEO, is kind of running a business, you know. He barks the orders, Omaha, Omaha. And, you know, people go to work and, you know, they're successful. But, you know, knowing Peyton Manning, like as a football player, detail-oriented and communications, two most important parts, and doing your homework and understanding, you know, who your opposition is going to be every week. You know, same as business, who you're competing against and what new products are going to come out. What is your favorite quote from your book?
You mentioned Peyton, and one of the ones I love from Peyton Manning is that it really took to heart is preparation usually trumps ability. And I think that's something that he built his career around. I mean, who was more prepared than Peyton Manning going into anything that he ever did? Another one that my personal favorite for a long, long time has been that NASA credo. There is no such thing as failure. There are only early attempts at success. Again, as we talked about earlier, right? If you embrace that worldview, it changes everything. I love that. I feel just thinking about that credo, it just makes me feel empowered. I just love it.
So one of the things that we've discussed earlier is on your book, it's not in your name. It's not Randy Bergeron. It's R. Norman James. Who is this fictitious individual? So,
why am I doing that? I had to think through whether I should do that or not do that. And I decided to use a pen name because I'm going to, my goal is actually to write a book, a fiction, another book in a totally different genre. So because I'm going to do that, I felt it would be appropriate to use a pen name for each. Otherwise, it's kind of confusing and weird to put out a book of fiction and, you know, a business book out of the same author somehow. And the advice that I got was it's not a bad idea at all to just put it under a pen name and separate the two projects because they're so completely different.
Gotcha. I noticed in the book that R. Norman James has great quotes. Is there any particular quotes from Mr. James that stand out for you?
Oh boy. I would say I actually have a couple of them. Adversity is a daily reality. Therefore, perseverance through adversity is a daily requirement. I wrote that and I found myself going back to that a few times, and it's been commented on a number of times as well back to me from in reviews and such. And then my go-to on communications would be the other one. Again, being the animated zealot that I am on the subject, poor communication is the root cause of almost every problem, and effective communication is the key to almost every solution, as well as the successful execution of any plan. Because I so vigorously believe in it, I would say those are two quotes that I would go to of my own, I guess.
Yeah, and I would agree with that, especially on effective communication, especially within the last year of, you know, remote working, and, you know, touching, you know, if you were still at Unity today, I could see you being, you know, a champion of making sure everybody is on board, everybody is doing well, but yeah, having a clear, concise communication and going through that. And, for us at TechConnex, that's been one of the biggest takeaways is the communication part and, you know, having clear, precise, announcements, messages, and always being consistent has been, you know, a big takeaway from us. And so, you know, I thank you for that quote because, I think more than ever, that's probably one of the biggest takeaways that I've gotten from your book. Mention of the pandemic, would you have changed anything else within this book?
I don't think so. I think that in reflecting on it, I think that the approaches that are delivered in the book would apply regardless of the the global social and environmental circumstances around the principles still apply. As I mentioned earlier, perhaps a couple of areas would become even more important because of the pandemic, such as some of the financial things and definitely how you treat your employees.
Well, I want to thank you, Randy, for your time this morning, and I really appreciate the fact that you wrote this. I'm very honored that we were able to speak. Very happy to call you my friend. I'm very delighted to share this book. I haven't given it to anybody because I was waiting for this podcast. Obviously, a shameless plug. Where can business-minded people, entrepreneurs, anybody that's looking to, you know, create a bit of business, or if you're looking to even start a business, where can people find your book?
Well, thank you, Ryan. Thanks for your kind words. You're too kind. And I've really enjoyed doing this as well. It's been a real treat. As far as the shameless plug, Rise and Shine is available in most countries, actually, in both physical and ebook formats on Amazon, Amazon Kindle, Ingram, Barnes & Noble, and Kobo. So just about anywhere you can buy a book, you can find Rise and Shine, 50 Real World Lessons.
Yeah, I would suggest anybody who's looking to purchase this book, buy the paperback, because it's probably going to be in your work bag
at all times. If you are getting into any situations that you might need some clarification or need some guidance or insight. So anybody listening, you know, take a look at the paperback version. I guess what's next? It's April. So what is the, you know, what's next for you? Are you going to work on some other business books? I know you mentioned you are working on some different areas of science fiction, maybe.
You know me too well. And actually, yes, I've started framing a little bit towards what ultimately I'm hoping will turn into a trilogy. And I will continue to lay the framework down over the summer, but really dig into it once the snow flies again in the winter. And that's when I find I can, you know, you're not outside as much. So I'll be inside digging into cobbling together some more words that hopefully will make some sense once they come together.
Awesome. Thank you so much once again, Randy. And I look forward to, you know, speaking with you again. And anybody from TechConnects or in a TechConnects world, we're looking to have Randy do a lunch and learn within maybe in the next 3 to 4 months to discuss his book a little bit more thorough and kind of dig deeper with entrepreneurs that are in our wheelhouse. So once again, thank you, Randy Bergeron, and look forward to speaking to you soon.
Thank you, Ryan.